to sing my great Redeemer's praise, my great Redeemer's praise.
Hello, dear friend. This is Whitney Doe inviting you to listen to Methodist Hour. We will hear the music of joyful praise and a timely message from the Bible by John Wolfe. Stay with us and enjoy the next 14 minutes, won't you?
My gracious Master and my God.
Methodist Hour encourages evangelical Christianity as we reach around the world. We are an affiliate member of the General Board of Discipleship of the United Methodist Church.
The honors of thy name, the honors of thy name.
Speaking of the promised Messiah, the Old Testament says his name shall be called Wonderful. Sing along with this praise song. His name is Wonderful. Today's message is entitled, By Invitation Only. Here is Methodist Hour President, the Reverend John Wolfe.
Thank you so much, Whit. The gospel lesson is Mark chapter 10, verses 46 through 52. They came to Jericho. As he and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy upon me. Many sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he cried out even more loudly, Son of David, have mercy upon me. Jesus stood still, and he said, Call him here. And they called the blind man, saying to him, Take heart, get up, he is calling you. So throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, What do you want me to do for you? The blind man said to him, My teacher, let me see again. Jesus said to him, Go, your faith has made you well. Immediately he regained his sight and followed Jesus on the way. Amen. You know, it's a simple story, really. For all that had happened, it is only a few verses long. Just 6 verses, to be exact, and I'm sure you could retell it right now. Jesus and the disciples and a crowd were walking along the way. A blind beggar cries out to Jesus on 2 occasions. A number of persons, and I assume the disciples were part of that number, all told the blind man to keep quiet. Jesus may have been teaching or something, we don't know. In any case, the blind man was considered an interference to what was going on. Jesus called the man over to him, and that must have jolted the crowd. But there was a tone of compassion in what they said to the blind man. They said, Take heart, he wants to see you. Now, I may be reading something into the text, but maybe it's not there, but I feel those words were very condescending. It said something like, well, take heart. He actually wants to see you, as though everyone else around him was of more importance. They tried to keep him silent, and of all things, Jesus was calling him. Now we read that the man is healed and follows Jesus. On the one hand, it's a great miracle story of a blind man regaining his sight. We're not really told if he had ever seen it, had seen before or not. The spirit of the story, though, seems to suggest that once he had had his sight and for some reason lost it. Remember Bartimaeus said, Master, let me see again. Now, I can tell you that the research literature on this text is about as short as the text itself. But let's take a closer look at it. Remember, Mark says that they were on the way. In this case, that would mean that Jesus, the disciples, and the crowd were on their way to Jerusalem. They were on the way to the crucifixion and all that went with it, and to the resurrection. They had walked to Jericho. Now, Jericho is about 7 miles on the west shoreline of the Jordan River. It's about 20-plus miles east from Jerusalem and about 36 miles due south of Jesus' hometown of Nazareth. Now, it was along this way that Jesus had been teaching the disciples about what was going to happen when he got to Jerusalem. Remember, James and John wanted to sit at the right hand and the left hand, those positions in the New Kingdom, and essentially they rejected any notion of the crucifixion and why it was going to happen, for that matter. Now, I have to imagine that the crowds were pretty impressed with the disciples, and the disciples were pretty impressed with them. Recall the fame and the notoriety of Jesus had spread so rapidly. By now, they were the kind of people that everywhere they went, people were waiting and clamoring for them to bring Jesus to speak to them, you know, in the schools and rotaries and all those kind of places, you know what I mean. But everyone who was anyone was out to see them. There must have been an incredible number of luncheons and gatherings and all those kind of things. Well, I'm getting to this point. I recall a well-known speaker came to our church not too long ago, and we had a luncheon for him, and it was by invitation only. I mean, we had cloth napkins, china, and crystal, and all those kind of things. It was a great gathering. It was a curious thing. Many of the church members and persons in the community knew this man. There was a lot of excitement about his coming, but of course, only a few were invited. Now, there were practical things to consider. If everyone had been invited, it would have been so expensive and very difficult to have everybody, we might not have been able to have the gathering. What he told us over lunch, though, was of tremendous value. And I thought of so many persons whom I wished had been able to come. But frankly, I was very glad that I was able to be there. The reason I thought of that luncheon in the context of this lesson is because it did not seem to occur to us that a wider audience of persons might benefit. We wanted to make sure that the persons who were there at the luncheon, well, they were important people. We wanted the guests to know that we were responsible for having such a luncheon and had invited them. I hope you can hear what I'm saying. What we did was not wrong. In fact, it was what most of us would have done anyway. But the disciples now, compare this, and the crowds, local dignitaries, and those who had been following with Jesus from town to town were all gathered around Jesus. They had walked past this blind beggar who was seated along the roadside. Now, they did not actually push him away. They just didn't want him to make any noise. After all, he was just a beggar, a nobody. He was outside the circle. You might say that he was sort of outside the church. He had not been following Jesus. He had never seen him. He had never heard him speak before now. He had heard about him, we think, and that's all. Jesus was teaching about some very heavy stuff, and there were critical things going on. It occurred to me that Mark could have quoted some teachings that Jesus was giving at that time, and that would have been very adequate. But this blind man interrupts the whole scene. Now, you must look for the dynamic of what happened to understand just how important this lesson is. First, the man is not just a blind man. He has a name, Bartimaeus. Remember the rich young ruler who came to Jesus at night and asked him what he had to do for eternal life? Now, most folks know that story, but did you remember that we're never told who the man was? He didn't have a name. Now, here is what one might consider a nobody sitting on the side of the road. He was not a priest. He was not a leader. In fact, he was just poor. He is a blind beggar. He had a tin cup. But we not only know his name, we also know his father's name, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus. Now, one could easily assume that the persons in Mark's church knew this man too, or at least they knew about him. They had walked past him for days, but this day he cried out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Now, if that had been the mayor or a high priest, the whole crowd would have parted the way directly to Jesus and just made sure they got directly to him, but not for a blind beggar. A blind beggar. For sure, he was to be pitied, but not to be involved with important stuff with a rabbi. But think of what happened. Jesus said to the crowds, "Call him over. I want to talk to this man." They said to him, "Well, take heart. He's calling you." It was sort of like saying, "Well, I can't believe he's calling you, but he is. Of all people, you better count your blessings. Just look at all the important people around here, but he called you. You are so lucky." In the other healing of the blind person, Jesus used spittle, dirt, and saliva just put in the man's eyes for healing. It worked. But here there is only the man's clear request. Jesus said to him, you remember, "What do you want me to do for you?" The man said, "My teacher, let me see again." And Jesus said to him, "Your faith has made you well." Faith in what? The man was not in the synagogue. He was not even a follower of Jesus. He had never heard Jesus speak. But when he heard Jesus was there, just Jesus' presence and Bartimaeus' seeking heart, and he was healed. His faith was in Jesus as God's anointed one. Bartimaeus called him Jesus, son of David. That was the name given to the expected Messiah. He claimed who he was. The man was so moved by the call of Jesus on his life, he just threw off his cloak and left everything behind and began to follow him on the way to Jerusalem. Well, I can tell you that the crowd and the disciples were shocked at what they had just witnessed. How could he be so sure so soon? A few years ago, Judy and I were in Liverpool, England. We were there and on a mission tour, and we spent the night with an English couple. Donnie and his wife lived in a very modest home, very neat people. Donnie was a dock worker in Liverpool, and you remember it's a seaport city. Well, working on the docks is the major industry. It was then also an industry that was marked by crime and politics. Donnie had been a kind of guard for one of the big gangs on the dock. Fighting and running roughshod over people was ordinary for him. He had no notion of the church or God or any religious beliefs. Some men came into a pub one night where he had been fighting and drinking. They sat with him and shared the story of the gospel and about how it had affected their own lives. Now, there was no sermon, no hymn, no altar call, just a witness of honest faith in God. That night in a rough pub near the docks in Liverpool, England, the presence of Christ was so real in those two men that it transformed the life of a man who knew nothing about him except for what he had heard from those two men who shared with him. Donnie has told his story so many times to the men working on the dock. In fact, a lot of them are now following Jesus. Now, I don't know if Donnie would have ever gone to church or not. I don't really know. But had it not been for those two men, and we know that he hadn't been there for the first 40 years of his life, but when he heard the gospel where he was on the dock at that pub that night in between fights, the decision to follow Jesus was quick and it was dynamic. You know, I think about the many persons I have probably passed alongside of the road. People that I may have tried to help in some way, but I've never invited them to my church. And I think I know going up and down the highway across in front of the front doors of our church, there are a lot of people who probably believe that coming to our church is by invitation only. Don't you think that's so? Amen.
Dear friend, remember Jesus' invitation? Come to me, all of you. Come every soul by sin oppressed, you restless seekers after rest. You need not one be left behind, for God has bidden all mankind. Dear friend, you're invited to receive the gift of forgiveness and healing and eternal life. Please say yes to God's invitation. Come to Christ and live. And write us, Methodist Hour, Box 814, Roswell, Georgia, 30077. And now until next week, this is your producer and host, Whitney Doe, praying that the good news will always be yours. And may the Lord bless you and keep you.